The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
The Wild Talk Radio Network now presents The Evolution in Online Sports Entertainment.
Hey, everybody, this is X Pac with D-Generation X.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Who's ready for story time, baby?
Hosted by Tim Stein.
Best there is, the best there was, or the best there ever will be.
The intern, Kane Kittens.
I am the best in the world at everything I do.
Special guest host this week, local indie wrestler Keishi Matsunaga.
I'm better than you, and you know it.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
Acknowledge me.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
WTR Sunday night.
And remember, it's okay to play with yourself as long as you have an action figure.
Sunday night, and you know what that means. It's time for another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, wildtalkradio.com, twitch.tv/WTRLive. Chat if you have Amazon Prime, link to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming. Support the channel by clicking the purple rectangular button on the screen. You can also use credit code RocketSock in the Fortnite Island Shop, hashtag Epic Partner. I'm the producer, Sir Rockin, joined as always by the one and only Keishi Matsunaga.
Yes, I'm here to talk wrestling stuff, and maybe non-wrestling stuff. I have no idea. Don Callis got attacked this weekend.
I saw. Interesting. We'll talk about it, maybe. We have the intern, King Kittens.
I hate Fortnite ranked.
Did things not go well today?
Dude, I don't know how many times I landed and got like immediately one pumped by either a soccer player or a condom skin with a star wand.
Nice.
And that's in silver lobbies.
Nice. See, we ranked you up, and now here we are. Anyway, you can watch the VOD. We actually had success last night in ranked. Check the VOD.
Yeah, last night we had success. Today,
Brent apparently struggled. Well, the one who is not struggling in Fortnite is the one and only Tim Stein.
I'm not struggling because I'm not playing it.
There you go.
Yeah, good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We are streaming on Twitch. Head on over, twitch.tv/WTR Live. The boys are here to talk wrestling, non-wrestling, you know, stuff, and maybe we'll be entertaining. I don't know. We'll see.
We'll see how it goes. But we're here to talk wrestling, as Tim mentioned, because someone here went to some wrestling last night.
Keishi!
All 5 glorious hours of it.
5
Dear
hours.
God.
So, here's how the breakdown went, just so, and then we can kind of get into the nitty-gritty after the fact. So, they started with 1 hour of ROH tapings.
Okay, figured that was going to be a thing.
Yep, then we jumped into your regularly scheduled Collision, which went from 8 to 10 Eastern time.
Mm-hmm.
For,
yeah,
you know, which is what they usually use.
Yeah.
Then they did our Battle of the Belts that was also advertised for 1 hour. And then 1 more hour of ROH tapings, which was not as well attended as the first hour.
Gee, you think?
We talked about it. Like, how are they going to do? What were they going to do? Like, we talked about maybe they should split 1 hour one day, 1 hour the next. Oh, no. They gave you both hours.
Yep.
That seems like a lot on people.
But that being said, those of us that stayed and watched that final hour of ROH tapings missed the hailstorm.
Wait, the band hailstorm?
No, the
weather
giant, the
system.
Giant white rocks of ice falling from the sky. Yeah. Which also apparently I didn't know at the time, but if you look at the internet, knocked out some of the feed of Battle of the Belts.
It did. It knocked out during Tony Storm's match.
Yes. So Storm got involved in Tony Storm's match.
How fitting.
Yes. Wonderful. But that being said, of the 5 hours, I enjoyed it all. There wasn't too much, I didn't find any of it really slow. There weren't any times where I was like, oh, I could go, get a drink or check out the one single merch table that they had in the entire building. Or
so, okay, that explains things. They said someone tweeted, there's 1,000 people in line for merch.
Yes. And that line was super long.
But it's only
one of the reasons why I didn't go into it, because there was only one merch table. Usually they have at least two.
There should be more than that for an event like that, but Jesus.
Yeah, but so I don't know. It was what it was. I did manage to get things for my kid because I had a friend who was in line and they texted me as they were getting up to the front. And so they bought an acclaimed foam finger scissor hand for my kid.
Okay.
Yeah, no, the show was really good. I enjoyed it. It was awesome. Watching my kid experience Orange Cassidy, his favorite wrestler's entrance live, was the coolest thing. I ended up, through my shoot job, getting access to an upper-level suite. So that was kind of a cool experience for my kid. First wrestling, big wrestling show ever, and he's watching it from a suite. So he had an amazing time. He was bouncing off the walls, yelling, scissoring the crap out of people with his foam fingers, losing his mind. It was great.
And those suites are pretty sweet for an old decrepit building, too.
They are pretty sweet for an old decrepit building. I mean, you don't have to worry about being cramped into spaces with strangers who may or may not have the best
body odor,
or have to worry about them yelling things that a 9-year-old child really don't need to hear. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. I was good. I enjoyed it. I would probably go to another event if they came back.
Would you go for another 5 hours, though?
Yeah.
Keishi would. Others wouldn't, would. But Keishi would.
Yeah. I mean, I understood why a bunch of people left when they did, but at the same time, when the regular, especially during the Stampede, when the actual whole AEW event ended, it was about an hour before the mass exodus of the grounds would normally happen. Mm-hmm. So even staying till the end, it wasn't that big of a deal. There were some problems with our train line, and I ended up having to walk 20 minutes to where I parked my car instead of taking the train, but that's neither here nor there, and ended up working out okay.
Right.
Yeah, so I mean, in conjunction to what was happening around them, it was timed well. I got to see a lot of my indie wrestling coworkers and buddies all get some time in the ring, so that was kind of cool. One of the guys that I had initially started training with however many years was ago, he got a match on ROH, so I thought that was cool to see. Yeah, overall, it was a pretty good experience. I would add another merch table, but I don't know.
Beyond that, you know.
Yeah. Beyond that, it was enjoyable.
Okay, that's good. So, best match you saw?
The 58-minute tag team championship match was good.
Okay.
What else? I don't know. I thought everything went really well. The Orange Cassidy's match against Lance Archer, I thought that was really well done. Especially from a booking standpoint of having the count out to keep Lance Archer strong and give Orange Cassidy a believable reason why he still has the title. Mm-hmm. There was a 4-way tag match as the main event of the last ROH taping between the Kingdom and, why can't I remember anybody else? The Bollywood Boys were in it, and it was one of the team. I can't remember. They used to be, their names change a lot, but they were hanging out with Dolph Ziggler's brother. I can't remember the name of that that team. But that four-way tag match was
really good. JD Drake and whoever?
Yes. Yeah. So they were in there.
The Workhorsemen.
Yes. Are they still the Workhorsemen?
That's what the results I just read said. Workhorsemen.
Yeah. So I thought that match was really good.
And it was Action Andretti and Darius Martin.
Yes, that was the one. Yeah. I don't know.
Right.
Yeah, I thought all the matches were well done. There wasn't, like, I mean, there were a few missed spots for a couple of things, but nothing, like, really, really bad. It was pretty much par for the course for your AEW ROH endeavors.
Okay. And one other thing, were you surprised that the winner for the men... for the Owen.
I was surprised, but not as surprised about how dirty they did Jushin Liger. Holy shit. Like, they flew him all the way up from Japan, made him put on his gear that, you know, most retired wrestlers probably wouldn't want to do, to give a 2-second having Ricky Stark walk up and just yank the trophy out of his hand and leave him standing there just bewildered. That, in my, like, and I mean... he could have been okay with it, and they could have cleared it with him first. That's fine, but I thought that was a big load of shit.
Long way to travel for 30 seconds of entertainment.
No kidding. And, like, even the president of New Japan tweeted about it. So, like, I don't know. Hopefully that was something that Liger was, like, very okay with and not just, like, here's what we're going to do, and he was just okay. Because, holy crap, did they do him dirty.
Sounds like they did, but... here we are.
Well, you know what they say, dirty deeds are done dirt cheap.
Yeah. But it'll be interesting to see Ricky Stark's, I guess, explanation for that going forward and if they're going to switch him heel again.
Again, yeah.
Yeah.
Because that seems to be where they're headed, because you don't cheat the win on Punk and then stay a babyface. It just seems...
Oh, also, like, very mixed reaction for CM Punk. It was not a Chicago crowd.
It was not a Chicago crowd. Wow, color me shocked. It was not a Chicago crowd for Punk.
But it was pretty like, I would say 50-50. It wasn't like glaringly obvious one way or another. So, you know.
So he basically got the Cena treatment.
He continues to be the polarizing character/wrestler/human that we all know and love. Or don't love.
Or don't. I would, you know.
Yeah. And what else? I'd say about 2/3 full for a crowd at its peak.
At its peak. I heard like 5,000 was a number, something like that.
Yeah. I mean, the like half of the second level was full. All of the lower bowl was pretty full and the floor seats were pretty full. So,
from what was opened up.
I mean,
yeah.
Yeah. I guess if you include the like chunk of the building that you can't sit in, it probably would have been closer to half. But
yeah, that's not, and yeah. It wasn't bad. It feels like a, like you're running a 20,000 seat arena and getting only 5,000. That feels like a, you know, why you're spending that much money for a building, but I don't know if there's any other buildings that they would run there anyhow.
Not in Calgary. Yeah.
Not anymore.
No, even the next size down building that they could have used has been torn down. So, because it was even older than the Saddle Dome.
The Corral, the original Corral.
Which, way back in the day before it was a hockey arena, was a tractor factory, so...
Well, the thing had a nickname called the Barn, and man, it didn't matter what they did, it smelled like one.
I mean, that's par for the course for most of the buildings down there, though.
Yeah, that is true.
I mean, just look at the building that they were running Stampede Wrestling in. It was attached to a literal barn.
Oh, the pavilion.
Yes.
Yeah.
The boys changed in a literal barn.
So that was Keishi at professional wrestling. Maybe he'll talk more about things when other places, you know, companies come to town.
Yeah, there is a loose plan to look at possibly acquiring tickets for that SmackDown show closer to the date when dynamic pricing works in the favor of people who don't care about getting front row seats? Question mark? I don't know.
It's an expensive ticket right now, WWE.
Yes, so I'm gonna take a look at closer to, and then I can get, you know, an experience for my kid for both an AEW and a WWE event, and he can do a little comparison of which one he liked better, I guess.
We'll get the live event experience from a WWE show this Thursday at 10 p.m. Eastern on the Rack. Lindsay's going to Raw tomorrow, so there's no post-show. We'll talk about Raw on Thursday, but she'll be
according
live.
According to the chat, she may have paid non-dynamic ticket prices.
she paid a little bit of money for her ticket.
Please check out StubHub.
Guess what? There's only like 300 tickets on secondary markets right now. It's really not, it's not any different right now. You're lucky to get a WWE ticket. Here in the States, which
what
is good.
What is that website where people put their tickets up for sale?
It was StubHub. That's the website.
I thought there was another one.
There's a bunch of ones that you can use.
Yeah. But
there's like an official one that's partnered with Ticketmaster up here. I can't remember what it is. Or
yeah, I'm trying to remember the name of that one.
Either way, the tickets are it's not a lot of, you know, on the secondary markets right now.
Everyone, you're acknowledging the tribal chief with your wallets.
They are. StubHub was more expensive than Ticketmaster.
Yeah, you know, if Roman Reigns doesn't come to Calgary for SmackDown, something tells me a lot of tickets might go unsold.
Possible.
I mean, tomorrow Raw sold out for 11,000 tickets, and guess what? There's no Roman Reigns on that show, so they'll be all right.
Well, if you go to Raw to see Roman Reigns, you're an idiot, and you deserve to get ripped off.
No, you go to Raw to boo Dirty Dom.
Yes.
So he went to AEW last night. AEW is in the news because a list of things you're not allowed to do has come out, right?
Oh, no, not another banned list.
But this is an AEW one.
Some of it's banned. Some of it is like, let's need make approval. Sure it makes sense.
Yeah, some of it's need approval by either, what was it, medical staff or the coach of the match. Just so you don't have people doing, you know, 450s through a table, or you have a 62-year-old jumping off a ladder through a table.
Onto his jaw.
So
onto his head, you know.
Here's the list of moves no longer allowed under any circumstances that are prohibited for your safety, safety of the staff and crew, safety of our fans, and compliance with laws and venue requirements. Unprotected shots to the head.
That should be a given.
Shots to the back of the head.
Again, should be a given.
That sounds like a page rule. Safety.
That sounds like a my rule. That's how I almost died for crying out loud.
We have a buckle bomb / blind moves backwards into the turnbuckle.
Which clearly
that's the Seth Rollins rule.
Clearly that just means that enough people have gotten hurt from those moves in that company for them to take a look and be like, you know, maybe not.
Maybe not. We have fencing response / seizure cells.
Daniel Bryan, we're looking at you.
We have spitting.
Good. Jay White, we're looking at you.
We have blood.
Couldn't have been the only one.
We have blood in the crowd, i.e. no bleeding while in the crowd and no throwing bloody gear, tape, and other objects into the crowd.
Okay, wait. Can we all just agree that this is the Moxley rule?
Yes. It's also probably the Stadium Stampede rule.
Which is going to be very interesting watching what happens with Stadium Stampede moving forward.
Correct.
Or Anarchy in the Arena.
Anarchy
or
in the Arena, yeah.
Whatever they've got where it's like, yeah, we're going to go out into the face. Oh, shit.
We have weapons / projectiles in the crowd.
Fair.
Okay, so there goes Anarchy in the Arena.
Yep.
Taking drinks or food from guests in the crowd.
MJF.
MJF. Both of us thought the exact same thing.
Physical contact with the crowd, e.g. wrestler holding opponent and allowing a fan to chop them.
Well, I'm glad that they banned that there and not in indie wrestling, because boy, do I ever use that.
Additionally, the memo included an updated list of moves that cannot be utilized unless approved by the company's medical team and the producer / coach of the match involved, meaning both sides must be in accordance of approving it, not one or the other, and that the moves can only be utilized when the safety protocols advise to the talents. These moves include spots and bumps onto the ring apron and outside.
Ooh.
That's like half a match involving either the Lucha Bros or the Young Bucks.
Table, ladder, chair spots in and out of the ring, only allowed with padding.
Or four referees holding the ladder.
Any elevated spots outside of the barricades, dives and ladder spots onto stage, around the arena, and other places outside the ring. All pile driver tombstone variations, including the sit-down drivers, inverted and poison hurricanrana, and vertebreakers.
I mean, that's fair.
Hard Austin rule.
High risk dives or top rope moves, 450, 630, double moonsaults, SSP, etc. Interesting. intentional bleeding of any sort, not just blading.
How do you intentionally bleed not blading?
Blood capsule, I guess. I don't know.
I guess
the blood gas capsule is not bleeding.
I'm sure that they're just covering their asses that way.
hard elbow to the eyebrow. That'll cut you hard way if you do. And then you know, like it'd be an intentional thing. So you plan it.
So the not just blading is the Brock Lesnar rule.
Yeah. Putting your head legitimately first into the corner to get yourself to bleed.
Mm-hmm. Throwing people in.
There's a way around everything.
Throwing people into, through, over ring steps, commentary table, bell table, and or guardrails, barricades.
Those commentary tables get expensive after a while.
Especially the AEW ones are expensive.
They use the same one for every single show.
Yeah.
The announcers must have complained when they moved to ringside.
Maybe.
Weapon usage, chairs, pipes, kendo sticks, hammers, ring bells, bats, chains, etc., kettlebells, thumbtacks, skewers, barbed wire, and other sharp puncturing objects, powders, aerial sprays, and or liquids. Those must be approved.
Well, that makes sense, considering the fact that you just don't want the workers to be like, all right, look, we're going to bring out, you know, a glass-covered baseball bat for our, you know, regular TV match, and have Tony be like, wait, what?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Throwing any weapons and or objects, chairs, etc., choking / strangling with hands or a weapon or hanging spots.
Is that the Justin Roberts rule?
Yes. Injury spots or angles, whether or not medical is involved / called to the ring. Any physicality in the crowd or crowd brawling. Any physicality involving referees, managers, extra celebrities, and or special guests. According to the memo, any of the above can be changed or updated at any time, as it's not a comprehensive list. No word if this applies to Ring of Honor.
AEW, we've got rules. Ring of Honor, fuck it. Go on your way.
I mean, the second AEW. Hour of Ring of Honor, the second hour of the Ring of Honor tapings in Calgary, it wouldn't be that big of a deal. A lot of people left.
No fighting in the crowd. There is no crowd.
A lot of people wanted to catch trains, electric scooters, taxis, and Ubers before everybody else did. So they left.
Now, Keishi, this will be considered an inside dig between you and me, and the other two aren't going to get it. At least at a 5-hour AEW show, unlike a certain type of show that has been held in Calgary. At least for a 5-hour AEW show, you actually get action constantly.
That's true.
Yes.
There were a couple intermissions while they were, you know, changing out the aprons, but for the most part, mostly wrestling.
I won't name the air quotes promoter I'm taking a shot at, but
it's more than one.
I'm pretty sure Keishi knows who I'm referring to.
Probably, yeah.
So that was the list of restricted moves and stuff. Anything you guys want to add to it?
I look at the list and it probably, like, the first half of the list, the band things,
yeah,
especially the crowd stuff, probably came from a lot of the crowd that had to deal with that in recent memory, complaining and possibly threatening legal action. Therefore, a lot of that stuff probably got faux pod, and good for them because they're smart to avoid a lawsuit.
You mean that whole MJF throwing the drink in the kid's face was probably a precipitator of something like this?
I would not be surprised. And I mean, the chair shots to the head and stuff, absolutely. Nobody needs to go out there like Masato Tanaka and like bow their neck and just go, come on, give it to me. This crazy talk. It's 2023. Like, there's been way much more research in concussions and all that other stuff. And if these guys want long careers and Tony Khan wants to protect his investments because he's also paying for their health care, stuff makes sense.
We don't need, you know, another Sean Spears to Cody headshot that just looked grotesque for no reason's sake.
Yeah. Then if you look at the pre-approval list, that's pre-approval. It doesn't mean all that stuff's going away. So the wild and crazy internet wrestling community can calm down. I'll tell you why. There's a bunch of stuff on this list of moves that need pre-approval that they did on Saturday. Therefore, it's not banned. They just have to go through it and have both consenting adults who are putting together the match, whether it be one-on-one, tag teams, whatever, as long as the people giving and taking the move are both in agreeance that it's okay and it makes sense for the match, then cool. There were suplexes on the outside. There were suplexes in fighting in the crowd. All kinds of stuff. So, like, this isn't like a go on the internet and cry saying that, oh, AEW is just going to be like WWE now and it's going to be garbage. No, they're trying to protect their wrestlers who are getting injured a lot lately, and they're protecting the fans and they're protecting their wallets.
You know, the headshot reminds me of the one time Lance Storm on social media absolutely ripped TNA after an unprotected chair shot to the head. I can't remember who the wrestler was that took it.
Couldn't tell. But there's been many.
I remember he went ballistic.
I don't know. Well, a bulk of this list, it's not going to be that big of a deal. Like, a lot of this stuff, you're still going to see. It might be fewer and further between, which is fine, because not every single match on a TV show needs to have all of the exact same things. It might force the guys to maybe come up with some different stuff.
And I think in a certain way, it's also, you know, for some of those moves that you've got, you know, the Poison Rana, the, you know, sit down power bomb or sit down pile driver, a lot of these moves with some of our, you know, moves on the apron, it could also be done in a way of, so you don't have every match having every spot like that. If you have to get it approved, you may have a coach that goes, wait, we've seen this, you know, I've had two other people approach me about this same kind of thing. Let's back it up and try something else.
Yeah.
Because there's been a lot recently where it's like, yeah, everyone does, you know, three planches to the outside in every match. And it's like, okay, let's be a little different, y'all.
Yeah, you want to keep things different and fresh because, you know, if it's the same match for 5 hours, most people aren't going to want to stick around. It's the same thing even on, like, indie shows where, like, there are a lot of guys who do a lot of things in matches. So then, like, so if you're a smart wrestler, you look and be like, well, let's not do this, 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 and this, because everybody's going to see that 4, 5, 6 other times during the night.
That's why, like, WCW, ECW back in the day was a good product, because you had a little bit of something across the entire card, and it kept things interesting, it kept things moving. You know, you'd start off with a cruiserweight match, so you got a lot of, you know, high flying and fast movement, and then you know, Goldberg would come out for a 2-minute squash, and you'd get, you know, variety, and you wouldn't have to see the same moves, the same thing over and over again, where you just interchange wrestlers like it's a video game.
Yeah, I agree.
So there you go. So one other thing we got to talk about before we get to the all-time greatest. Last night, somewhere in Canada, Casey was not at, we had a resurrection from death occur in Impact Wrestling. Eric Young.
What?
He's no longer dead. He's alive.
Scott Moore found the 7 Dragon Balls.
Team Canada is back!
And wished Eric Young back to life. I just said, Chad, he found the 7 Dragon Balls, summoned the dragon, and wished Eric Young back to life.
Is that Shenron?
Yes.
From Fortnite?
Oh my god, it's Shenron!
Yeah, I guess he was there. He was in Fortnite. So there you go.
Yeah. Yeah. If you earn
tying it all together.
There you
tying
go. It all together. But yeah, so Eric Young's back. Thoughts, reactions, opinions.
That was a bit of a shocker, because yeah. Last we had all heard, Eric Young was under contract with the WWE. And I will be honest, I have not followed Impact as much as, you know, I have back in the day.
Well, he asked for his release from WWE back in April.
Right, we found that out later.
Yeah.
But it was that kind of thing of, we didn't know, and if you watched, I guess, Impact before, I guess PCO couldn't be resurrected in time for this match. For what, I don't know, whatever reason they gave for him, you know, being dead originally. But I guess Scotty was saying, like, you know, oh yeah, he's going to bring someone back from the dead. And then there was the Team Canada jacket. So people could make the connection before the pay-per-view. But still a shocker to be, you know, to be honest, of Eric Young, who had, for all intents and purposes, been killed on Impact Television.
He legitimately was killed on television. He was murdered.
He was shanked. He was shanked.
Shanked. He's dead.
By Mr. Diener.
People have survived shankings.
I mean, Mickey James survived getting pushed in front of a train, okay? And she's back with Impact as well.
Another member of Team Canada, Johnny Devine, got legit stabbed, and he's still alive.
What's with Impact and stabbings?
We actually interviewed Johnny Devine live in the studio shortly after that happened.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a gnarly scar, but survived.
And when he's got to go, he can't wait. When it's time to go, it's time to go.
Oh, yeah.
I thought Canada was supposed to be a polite place. What's going on?
Well, Johnny Devine was stabbed. He was stabbed in Nashville, I think.
Oh, okay.
I thought it was Atlanta.
I don't know. It was not in Canada. It was in the States while working for Impact.
It was either Nashville or Atlanta. It's probably Nashville. You're probably right.
And where was Don attacked?
Mexico.
Oh, well.
Yeah, apparently Don Callis was attacked by a fan.
I mean, it couldn't happen to a nicer person?
Cyrus the Virus.
Now,
one of the few Canadian citizens that is a dick.
I was going to say, like, by no means do we, you know, condone that kind of action to take place for Don Callis.
I don't know. I worked with Don Callis once and never had any issues.
I met Don Callis once. He did not care.
Well, he might have been nice to me because I was standing right beside Bad News Allen at the time, and Bad News was a friend of mine.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
But yeah, we then found out later that Eric asked for his release from the WWE in April because of he did not want to work with one Vincent Kennedy McMahon.
Fair enough.
Which is fair. I understand that, considering that, you know, when Eric was with NXT, he worked primarily with Hunter, and he got a fair shake with Hunter, but as soon as he got moved up to the main roster, stuff did not go well for him.
One of his objections was morally based.
Which, good on him.
Yeah. Vince hasn't been on the best moral ground over the past.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. Kudos to Eric for standing by his convictions.
Indeed.
And not biting his tongue for the paycheck.
Though he got a nice paycheck for probably 4 months of doing nothing, except for one voiceover and a Bray Wyatt video package.
I mean, he also did some podcasts.
Well, yeah, just not for the WWE.
It's unrelated, but at least, you know, he was still doing stuff.
He's been doing hockey stuff. So yeah. Would make sense why he was doing more of it during the playoffs starting. I mean, that makes all sense in the world.
Yeah.
All adds up. It all comes together. All right, with that, all-time greatest.
Who's the man? Huh? Who's the man?
It's time for another WTR original.
I am the greatest.
All-time greatest.
Well, whoopsie freaking do!
Help us decide what the greatest intro, submission move, or even the greatest title run ever truly is.
I hope I score.
Interact with us in the real-time chat and find out who or what will end up being the all-time greatest.
You can follow along at WrestleTalkRadio.com. This one matchup is not good for the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels, because he was betrayed twice. First by Sid Vicious back in 1995, right after WrestleMania. Or Triple H turned on the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels, in 2002 on Shawn's big return to WWE. Brent.
I'm going to give it to Shawn and Hunter, because this was... Remind me if I'm wrong. This was Hunter taking over the X, right?
No.
Oh, no, this was...
This is 2002, Shawn's big return to WWE after 4 years.
This was Triple H being an asshole and not caring about anybody but himself and Shawn calling him out on it.
This was Hunter busting up Shawn's knee?
No, so this happened...
I thought the knee was that one.
No. So this was the start of their... This began their long feud when Shawn returned. This was... We're reforming D-Generation X because, you know, the NWO shit failed. So Shawn and Hunter are back together and they're going to ride together. And
this
because,
is the one that led to the cage match.
This led to Shawn's first match in 4 years.
Okay. Yeah.
This was the whole setup because Shawn was gone and now Shawn's back. And then Hunter's like, we're going to be DX and then... No, and then, you know, he set them all up and then got Shawn back in the ring because the NWO basically failed.
I'm still sticking
NWO suffered Yeah, the NWO suffered a torn quad.
Torn quad, someone getting fired, Hogan going babyface, and so
all of the things.
So you're going Hunter turns on Shawn.
I'm still going Hunter Shawn only because everyone knew that they were, you know, the clique. They were DX, and it's still Hunter stabbing his friend in the back. It's them setting up, you know, oh yeah, we were going to reform, and nope. And everything with them was just vicious. Not Sid vicious, but vicious.
Case.
For the lulz, I'm going to pick the same thing. I don't even remember Sid Vicious betraying Shawn Michaels, so I can't really talk on it.
I'll let Tim pick, and then I'll explain the Sid one. Tim.
Oh, yeah. No, it's Triple H turning on Shawn. That was absolute mega money-making.
So, to explain Sid betraying Shawn, this was the night after WrestleMania 11. Sid was his bodyguard at the time, and Shawn was blaming Sid for his loss at WrestleMania to Diesel, and then Sid powerbombed Shawn Michaels 3 times in the center of the ring. This led to Shawn becoming a babyface on his return. Mr. McMahon betrays the Hornswoggle, or Ospreay turns on the Okada. Keishi.
I'm going to pick Ospreay turning on Okada because New Japan.
Okay.
No, I mean,
I take that as an answer and we move on, but that's good.
The Mr. McMahon Hornswoggle thing was weird, and Ospreay turning on Okada was not something for those who follow New Japan that was very unexpected.
There you go. Brent.
I want to make this interesting, but I really can't, only because Mr. McMahon betrays Hornswoggle, as Casey said, was awkward because the whole storyline beforehand was supposed to be Mr. McMahon's illegitimate son was Mr. Kennedy. But that got adjusted, and it ended up being Hornswoggle, and everyone went, what the hell? Uh-huh. And it was just very awkward. So McMahon betraying him doesn't really have that same effect. Ospreay versus Okada, or Ospreay and Okada, I do have to confess I'm not as well versed in it as, say, Keishi, but it's still, you're kind of like, they were friends, slash, you know, Okada kind of took him under his wing, and Ospreay kind of breaking out and hitting, was it the Hidden Blade?
Yeah.
On Okada, especially when Okada is, that running back elbow to the back of the head, which could now be banned, or at least get prior approval. That kind of thing, especially on someone like Okada that is at a certain level in the company, means something and elevates someone like Ospreay to another level.
And it did just that. It was a very successful move that they did.
Tim.
Ospreay Okada.
There you go. All right, officially the first round's done.
Woo!
We did it.
Let's get through some of round 2, a little bit of speed rounds. Austin.
Oh, not good. Not good. Not good. Not good.
Austin betrays WWE for WCW, or Randy Savage betrays Hulk Hogan. Tim.
Savage betrays Hogan.
There you go. Casey.
I see lust in your eyes, Hogan.
Brent.
Just for a pity vote, Austin goes back to WCW.
Eddie Guerrero betrays Rey Mysterio, or Evolution turns on Randy Orton. Casey.
Eddie and Ray had more of an impact on me, so we're gonna go with that.
Brent.
I mean, we still have that extended into today with Dom. He's made references to the whole betrayal and everything that comes with it.
So, Eddie, for you, Tim.
Yeah, Eddie betraying Ray was the biggest angle out of the two. Massive repercussions. Decades later.
Stephanie McMahon betrays her father, Vincent Kennedy McMahon, in alliance with Triple H, or Kevin Owens betrays Sami Zayn.
Ooh.
Tim.
Stephanie betrays because that was massive, and, you know, it was the McMahon-Helmsley era
Brent.
And shit.
I'm going to go Kevin Sami because we're still getting residuals to this day where they're tag team champions, and we're all just waiting for the next time that one of them betrays the other.
Yeah, blah, blah, blah.
Keish.
Fight forever, Kevin and Sammy.
There you go. That's an upset, I would say. The Young
Bucks. That's an upset. Close. That's very close. Upsetting that you guys didn't go the same way I went. It's an upset.
I considered flipping a coin. how close it was.
Young Bucks.
I didn't have it near me.
The Young exclamation coin in chat. The Young Bucks and Kenny Omega turn on AJ Styles while James Storm betrays Chris Harris. Brent.
Pour one out for AMW.
Keish.
Bullet Club.
Tim.
Beer money.
That wasn't beer money.
That was not any.
I know.
Not, but we're going to give them a vote anyhow. There you go.
It was Storm and Rude. Come on, smarten up.
We know. Nikki Bella betrays her sister Brie, or some guy named Owen Hart betrayed his brother Brett. Tim.
Owen Brett.
Brent.
I mean, part of me wants to go because they're from here. No, it's Owen Brett.
By the way, it's fitting that it is both family betrayals in this one. Just...
Yeah, it's both siblings.
It's Cache.
That was random.
Yeah, it was. Cache?
Owen Brett.
There you go. All right. Slaughter turns on America. Zbyszko turns on San Martino. Brent.
One of the earliest examples of the student turning on the teacher. Zbyszko, San Martino.
Cache.
Go Joe.
Tim.
Slaughter turn on.
That was actually good, Casey. Yeah, you get double points for that one.
You're welcome.
Yeah, Slaughter and Murka.
Sean betrays Jannetty. Horseman betrays Sting. Cache.
Ooh.
Barbershop.
Tim.
Glass window.
Brent.
He was such a coward, he tried to jump out the window.
Oh, Bobby Heenan making everything that much better.
He did.
Heyman betrays Lesnar. Batista betrays Evolution. Cache.
Ooh. Heyman Lesnar.
Brent.
Just to make it interesting, Batista Evolution.
Tim.
I brought you into the WWE. I will take you out.
That could be said for both sides.
I was going to say, that could be said for both of them, technically.
Heyman turning on Lesnar.
Because
I don't know, Hunter could have said that to Batista.
Because, I mean, he did kind of make him in WWE. Anyway, that's the first half of a couple more. Trish turns on Jericho. Cody betrays Hardcore Holly. Tim.
Trish turning on Jericho. Why are you only asking me first for all the fucking Canadians?
It's just random.
Because.
Random. The only time you ever pick me first is when there are Canadians involved. Especially if it's Brett or Jericho. Coincidence.
Sure. Okay. Tim, we got yours. Brent.
I'm going to go with the betrayal in which Cody Rhodes never officially lost the tag team title.
All right. Casey.
Trish Stratus, Chris Jericho.
Can't be mad.
Kevin Owens betrays Chris Jericho. Bullet Club turns on Tama Tonga.
Wait. You just jumped over two of them.
Did I?
Yeah, the next one is Tommaso Ciampa betrays Johnny Gargano.
Oh, wait, no, I was jumping down to go Tim for this.
I fucking told you.
We'll stick with this
one. Never mind, Rock. Good job.
Tim, Owens, Jericho, Club, Tonga, go.
What?
Kevin Owens betrays Chris Jericho or Bullet Club turns on Tama Tonga. Go.
No. Follow the fucking list, bitch.
Okay. Ciampa betrays Gargano. Savage betrays Elizabeth, aligns with Sherry. Casey.
See? Told ya!
Ciampa Gargano.
Tim.
Savage.
Brent.
Ah, oh, goddammit. The bigger betrayal is Savage Elizabeth. I want to go Ciampa Gargano. But Savage turning on Miss Elizabeth was one that, like, ripped your heart out.
There you go. Triple H and China Go Corporate turning on DX. Austin turns on Pillman. Tim.
You realize something.
Dark Side?
Yes.
I mean, Brian Pillman was with the Hart Foundation, so...
But he wasn't Canadian. No, because he wasn't Canadian.
He was honorary Canadian, like half Canadian.
And he played for the Stampeders.
There we go.
He played CFL for the Calgary Stampeders, but he's an American.
Stop selling, make a pick.
Triple H and China Go Corporate.
Brent.
The implosion of the Hollywood Blondes.
Cache.
Corporate.
There you go. Now, Kevin Owens betrays Chris Jericho and the Bullet Club turns on Tama Tonga. Tim.
Owens, Jericho.
Brent.
Three words. Festival of Friendship.
Cache.
You just made the list!
Ow.
Why is my name on this list?
There you go.
Listen, I'm going to tell you right now. The action figures are on display. No matter what, I'm always going to pick it.
There you go. Paul Bearer betrays The Undertaker while the nation turns on Farouk. Cache.
Bearer.
Brent.
The urn to the head heard round the world.
Tim.
Good call.
Tim.
Oh, don't tell me you can't hear me again.
Now we can hear you.
Oh, yes!
Wish we did it on that one. Anyway, moving on.
Bet you wish you didn't hear me. Blah, 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 blah.
Hogan betrays the fans and creates the NWO, or Seth Rollins betrays the Shield.
Oh, this was
the one. That was the one.
Brent.
Hogan NWO, the ultimate heel turn.
Cash.
As far as I'm concerned, you fans can stick it, brother.
Tim.
Yep.
We're just going to go three. Sorry, Shield. Bobby Roode betrays James Storm. There's your beer money. And Dakota Kai turns on Tegan Nox. Cash.
Sorry, Brent. Beer money.
Brent.
I gotta hypothetically go with my boo.
Tim.
Give me a cold one.
Beer money moves on that one. Hunter turns on Sean or Ospreay.
See, it never happened. It never happened then.
Hunter turns on Sean or Ospreay turns on Okada. Tim.
Hunter turns on Sean, man.
Brent.
Pedigree.
Keishi.
I'll give one to New Japan.
And that's round two, and we're done for the night.
That's it. Hey, tomorrow, immediately following Raw, go find something to do, because there will be no post-show.
There's no post-show because Lindsay is Raw, which means Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern on the Rack. It's the Raw post-show invades the Rack. Raw review on the Rack, Thursday, 10 p.m. Eastern.
Or something like that. Hi, Lindsay. You're going to play Fortnite with friends and watch Brent have the meltdown.
We played Rank last night. We'll probably have the entire group this Saturday, 9:30 p.m. Eastern, Fortnite with friends.
Hey, CB Radio, shit like that.
Saturday nights, midnight-ish, CB Radio, superlive.com, greaterthangreatdebate.com. Last night we did songs of 1990. This week we're doing something else summer-related. It's CB Radio, live, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, Saturdays.
Well, okay, do you realize that you said midnight-ish initially?
It's yeah, still midnight-ish.
It's still midnight-ish in Atlantic time, and at least that's what my commercial says.
There you go. We might be back next Sunday night at 8 o'clock Mountain, 10 o'clock Eastern to possibly talk about things.
More wrestling talk, WTR Sunday Night, Wrestle Talk Radio at WTR Sunday Night on Facebook and Twitter. It's at Wild Talk Radio, facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network, and I guess at Wild Talk Radio on Threads, whatever that means.
Took the step.
We're on Threads. Wow. We're there. It's a thing. I have to I have to do it for my phone. I don't want to do it for my phone.
Yeah, well, I'm not on Threads, but I'm on Twitter, so follow me at Flames Forums.
There you go. Cash is on the socials.
I'm also on Twitter and Instagram. You can find me at Kyle Driver. I'll post a video of my kid watching Orange Cassidy's entrance music. Also in the description of those things, you can find a link to my merch store. Thanks!
Brent?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter, at Kane Kittens. You can also find me on Threads, at Kane Kittens. I may have other stuff here at the end of the summer. We will find out. But you can find me there. I do have... on my Twitter, sometimes I do make some friends talking about professional wrestling and other stuff. So... Come see.
There you go.
Chat, as a reminder,
we're basically.
Hold on, Tim.
What?
Hold. Chat, as a
what?
Hold on. Chat, as a
what?
As a reminder, if you have Amazon Prime link to your Twitch account, it's called Prime Gaming. Support the channel by clicking the purple rectangle button below the screen. You can also use credit card Rocket Sack in the Fortnite app shop. Buy whatever is in there now, because hashtag Epic Partner. Now
and
we're good.
Everybody listening to the podcast, you'll have to reduce speed to 16 RPM to understand what he just said.
Everyone understands exactly what I said. This has been WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We'll see you next Sunday. Yeah, this show's a Sunday. Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Tim, say bye.
Have a good week, everybody.